Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to WithInsightsRadio.com. Sit back and enjoy the show.
Good evening, friends and neighbors, immediate neighbors or galactic neighbors or brothers and sisters in humanity. Welcome. This is the Uncommon Shaman. My name is Mudtoe Sasquatch. Thank you for joining me on this Friday evening. At the conclusion of a very eventful week, I think we can all agree, I'm somewhat at a loss to know exactly how to approach a discussion of this week's events. I had considered avoiding the discussion entirely, but I think that's not quite fair. Something of this magnitude occurs, it does deserve discussion. I'll just start in. The reaction that many of my friends have had, why am I hesitant to talk about it? Beyond the fact that it's just not really so much what I do. It's not a current event show. It can certainly be a show that is shaped by current events, and that's my hope, what is going to happen today. As seems to happen during all sort of these big political seasons, tensions run high. It wasn't always that way. I'm old enough to remember when maybe people were people might get unhappy about the results of an election, but they wouldn't harbor it much beyond election night, and continue to live their lives because at that time compromise was still valued. Today, compromise is considered a sign of weakness. Back then, politicos wanted to govern. Today, they want to rule. They want to remake American society and make it into, well, on either side, they want to take American society and metamorphose it into their own sort of private version of what America should be. And there's a lot of ugliness that resides in that process. A lot of the old negative energy, as they like to call it. A lot of people whom I love and respect talking a lot of shit, and it disturbs me. The last time I felt this disturbed was, I'm going to count back here a little bit. I was living in the big city at the time, I remember. I was in a bar slash a sports bar slash restaurant, and they had the United States playing Canada. It was a hockey championship. It wasn't the Olympics, but it was the hockey championship of something. Maybe it was the Olympics, but I don't think the United States was expected to win, but they were ahead right up until the end, and then it's like in the last 60 seconds, something happened and they didn't win. Well, I presume Canada scored is what happened, but this crowd, it was a fairly big place, and lots of people in there, chiefly to watch the game, and the fury that was directed at those television screens. I had to resist the urge to hide underneath the tables because I felt that perhaps if I was sitting there being, normal, they might take that as something irrational, that they might take that as being some sort of challenge to their reaction. And that's how I feel about elections. I lost someone I thought I was a very good friend, a former lover, actually, who decided I wasn't worthy of her time, her Facebook attention anymore. We had she had moved away, and I hadn't seen her for a while, but we had stayed good friends, and communicated often via the internet. But this was I had decided neither of the candidates in a specific election had appealed to me, and I wrote a little note about it, why I didn't vote, and then she came back at me with some stuff, and it wasn't only her, there were a number of people who were criticizing me about it, and I wrote a prayer about that I was being attacked without reason, but that I forgave the people who were doing it, and she immediately unfriended me. I guess prayer of that is kind of a passive aggressive way to use prayer. I wouldn't do it again if I had it to do again. I wouldn't have approached it that way. My idea was to try and reverse the energy, but I just ended up making things worse. I've never known a subject I don't know. Well, no, I won't say. For me, even religion, I haven't experienced it anyway. Maybe some people have, but I haven't experienced religion. I mean, religious debates seem to take place. They seem to be largely academic, at least as I have experienced them. I know people have experienced tremendous agony at the hands of religious institutions and people who are using religious tenets, have taken the words of the Bible or of other religious texts and twisted them to suit their own purposes. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a debate over religious. Can we take the authority for opposing abortion from the Bible? Is it fair to do that? I had a friend who was a student at a college in Ohio, which has a reputation. It's like the most Catholic school in the country. It's a very conservative Catholic university. It's the one that when Obamacare was coming through, and it was a birth control thing, it said you had to provide birth control as part of insurance. The university dropped all of its insurance for its students so that they wouldn't have to pay for birth control. So participating as little as I could possibly get away with, I had to participate a little bit in order to continue to be in the strand, but I would watch these arguments that go on among the people in the university and other people who were interested in these issues, and it's this amazing sort of circular logic that would go on, because everything has to start from the fact that God is in control of everything, God is always right, and God is behind the scriptures. Everything goes back to that, and those are facts that cannot be questioned. And so, some funny things happen when you have certain fixed points that can't be moved in the debate. Emotions would run high, but nobody ever threatened to kill anybody. Nobody ever said anybody was a racist or a misogynist or implied that maybe their children should be taken away. I never saw that happen. Now, maybe it does. I can't, but I say it was in my experience, it hadn't happened. But in politics, it's the same perfectly rational, peaceful people that I've known for years. They want to watch the world burn because their presidential candidate didn't win. Again, I said this last week, I'm not going to share who I voted for. I will share that it was neither of the major two. I went to bed. I didn't even watch the election returns come in. I went to bed about 10 o'clock. I know my parents stayed up, and I know that my parents were not displeased with the results. In fact, I remember when Obama won, my mother became convinced, I think she got this off of Glenn Beck, that Obama was going to convert the U.S. government into a Islamic republic. He better hurry because he's only got about 2.5 months left. But and then those same things. There are remarkable similarities because President Obama got elected, promising to do things there was no way he was ever going to be able to do. There are things that were beyond the power of the president to accomplish on his own, and things that he just wasn't, you know, with the Republican Congress, just it wasn't going to happen. And there are things that the Constitution, places where the Constitution stood in the way. And now we have people very upset over the election of Mr. Trump, who I will grant you is a reprehensible human being, has a lot of repugnant ideas, has given voice to this idea that as what I was saying before, he doesn't want to govern, he wants to rule, he wants to change. Say, change the world is a phrase that has a very specific kind of connotation that I don't really mean. And then I guess the other side of that is I don't know that this isn't just – it continues to be sort of an elaborate game for Trump. I don't know whether he's someone who's really serious about coming and doing these things, you know, building a wall changing gun laws, changing immigration laws. Is this really something that's in his heart that this ought to be done? Or is this a big party for him? Is he just having a great old, good old time? Okay, I think he can have a great old time. It's great having a great old time at the expense of America. This is a party for him. He say, oh, okay, now what can I get? I got this far. Nobody thought I would. I don't know that Mr. Trump thought he would get this far. And now here he is. Well, what else can I get away with? What can I do in this position? I think he's probably more interested in scamming some cash. I think he's more interested in expanding his fortune than in any of the things he said to his legions of followers. I see him as a dancing clown, much like Mr. Beck or Mr. Limbaugh. People who they say they know their audience, and they say what their audience wants to hear, and that got, you know, it gets the radio host's money. It got him enough votes to be president, and the tearing out of hair that's going on, and the strident. I mean, okay, you can have I have nothing against protest. You can have a protest. I'm a little bit uncertain about what the protest is about. What is it for? What do the protesters hope to accomplish? Do they think that Mr. Trump's going to see them protesting and say, oh my God, and quit? That he's going to be, I know that, I guess the idea is to remove him somehow. What is the protest in aid of? How is that going to make that happen? Already we've talked about the Electoral College and getting the electoral, you know, the electoral voters to reverse the result of the election. I remember, I guess, you know, no, that doesn't quite, I mean, Al Gore was a member of the same party, so I guess it's kind of the same old, but when he lost to Bush 43 back in 2000, he was making some arguments the Electoral College at that point was much closer. It was a matter of only two or three votes, as I recall. This one is it would take I think it's 20. What was it, 18? The last count I saw was he had 286. I don't know. I probably should have looked that up before the show. But it would be some. It's more than one or two. It's more like 10 or 12 or maybe 15. People who would have to change their minds. And they say, well, you want to represent the results of the popular vote, and an elector, as an elector anyway, from in my position, if I were sitting as an elector, I'd say, well, okay, the popular vote in my state was 55% for Trump and 41% for Clinton. So I voting for Trump is representing the vote in the, you know, the political division that I represent. But the greater good, that's not that the process isn't geared for that. Throwing away the Electoral College altogether and going with a, you know, direct popular vote, I don't think that does it either, because that lends itself to tyranny of the majority. You know, if you win, and we were already seeing that anyway, when people win, they presume that means that they're right. What's the quote? There's a quote from Kill Bill when fortune smiles on something as ugly as revenge. This isn't exactly revenge, but it's ugly trying to roll back, I don't know, as ugly as jealousy and fear of dark-skinned people. But when fortune smiles on something that's dark and ugly, it seems proof like no other that not only does God exist, but you're doing His will. So if the authority of a white and omnipotent God, of a white, blonde-haired God, is being cited for the actions that are being taken, certainly winning an election with the help of an electoral college system that's sort of dense and hard to understand, but then it works in your favor. It reverses the result of the popular vote. I think that can only act to embolden people. So the friends of civilization, the friends of social justice. This is not a time to be making an empty protest. I'm not going to tell you it's all right. You're right to say, don't tell me it's okay. I'm not going to tell you that it's okay. I'm going to tell you that if you want to set this right, you got to start now finding candidates who can win congressional elections in 2018 and that can win the presidential election in 2020. Because Hillary was not the right person. I don't think Bernie would have been either. I voted for Bernie. I might as well just tell you. of all the candidates that were sort of in my field of vision, he was the least objectionable. So I cast my vote for him, yes, knowing that he wasn't going to win. And my friends here in Ohio can't persecute me because Trump won by umpteen millions of votes. So and it wasn't a protest vote. Don't get on my case about casting a protest vote. It was not. I voted for the one that I thought was the best choice, which is my right. So let the unfriending begin, I guess. But anyway, that gets us off and rolling here. I programmed 45 minutes. Not exactly sure why. It just occurred to me when I was setting up the show that was what I ought to do. I don't know. I don't feel that I could have more to say. They're big subjects. Both of the main things I wanted to talk about are big subjects. So maybe I thought that required a bigger show. So transitioning off of the election, I may go back to it if I have time at the end. And then probably some links to this too, because these things, they say things like this happen in threes, and this is only two, so I don't know what's coming up next. But I've been in touch with an outfit that hires teachers to move overseas and teach English in foreign schools. And the openings that I'm interviewing for are in Beijing, in China. And it was odd because before I went to a job, I made contact with these people at a job fair. And before the job fair, I didn't know what, because there's a certain sameness to these job fairs. Lots of call centers, lots of places doing the same kind of job that I just quit. Lots of technology companies. Many companies geared to younger people. So before I went to the job fair, I I did a little, what's it called? What do my new age friends call it? When you try and make something come true, manifest. Let's go manifest something. So I went, because my feeling was I'm sitting here stuck. You know, going to the job fair, same kind of job, strange job. I just got out of a job because I couldn't stand it. And it's the same kind of things every day. All the job boards are sending me, and the same thing. All the go to the unemployment office, and that's what they've got. Those kind of things. And I said, I'm manifesting something. Universe, send me something that will turn my world upside down. That will pull me up out of my roots and get me out of this heavy inertia, this stuck pattern that I'm in. So I go to the job fair, and it's more of the same, except back in the corner, furthest corner from the door that I went in, is that they're recruiting, teach in China. It's a big sign. It says teach in China. Well, that's definitely different. I haven't talked to anybody about that before. So I picked up their information, and I had gave them a resume and talked to the people there a little bit. Looked up some things about the company. It is a very new company, and is based in China. And evidently, teaching English is a growth industry in China. Lots of people there want to speak English, and not just functional or technical English, but conversational English, which really requires someone who, a native speaker to come in and make that happen. So they've been aggressively recruiting people with a teaching background to move to China. And of course, that's a big deal. I am an unattached person with nothing, not a whole lot to do. And I did ask the universe to pull me out by the roots. That would certainly do that. But the universe is still giving me the choice. The universe didn't make it happen. As a kind of that could mean a lot of things that might have been unfortunate. So I was probably lucky that the universe only took it that far. But I had my interview today via Skype, which was another experience. I got to I've used Skype before, but not for video calling. And it was because it gave us a chance to be face to face with this recruiter. I've talked for quite a while, and my feeling, this wasn't said because the person I was interviewing with was not American, not Chinese either, but she was not. I didn't ask her nationality, but she was not American, and people. We get, as Americans, we get used to the sort of expressional style that Americans have that is rather formulaic and also kind of aggressive. There's a sort of dance that goes on between the interviewer and the interviewee. That's something that both parties, if you've been interviewing for jobs for any length of time, which, I have, can... it's sort of a protocol, and that protocol was missing from her side because she's not American. So it really threw the whole interview process into something, I just talked. I just sat for 45 minutes and talked about myself and asked her questions about this company. It was very comfortable, and I'm getting the feeling, again, she didn't say it the way an American recruiter would say, well, we're offering you the, I'd like, because she can't offer me the, because we're not quite there yet. But my feeling was, If it were possible for me to get on a plane and go over there tomorrow, they would like me to do that. It was that strong of an approval that I felt. Now, I have felt strong approval in interviews before and had it not pan out. But they are sending me materials to apply for a work visa in Japan. And that will require me, first of all, to apply for a passport, which I have one that's valid, but it's going to be expiring shortly. So they think it's best for me to get a new one so I can do that. What else? I have to get a criminal background check, which is pretty standard for teaching and probably standard if you want to go overseas as well. And then I have to get a physical. Now, I was talking to my friend Twilight Evening Star. I think I mentioned this last week, that she is she did this she taught overseas in Japan. taught English for 14 years. And her concern was, you know, I have the touch of bipolar disorder. And she thought, because she remembered being asked about mental illness on her application, she thought that might torpedo me. Done a modicum of research, and general opinion seemed to be, I mean, they talked a lot about things like schizophrenia. You know, if you're schizophrenic, it's hard to get into another country. But, you know, specific to coming over there to do work, particularly work that they really want you to come and do, it's very difficult for them. You know, they're not in a position, China's not in a position of defending themselves and their own workers. People are bringing, people from coming there from the United States to teach English are bringing a skill that's very rare over there, and that they would like, you know, that more people to know. We teach it to them and more people will know it. So in other words, there's no reason for them to want to try and keep English teachers out of the country. So I said, you know, unless you're just full goose raving psycho, nobody's going to object to you coming to the country, particularly if you're taking you know, medications and your condition, whatever it is well controlled. If no one would know there was a problem from talking to you, it's not going to be an issue. So, I mean, that's kind of out there right now, because I haven't seen, they're going to send me their document, you know, for their, I'm supposed to take, they're going to send me a form and I'm supposed to take it to the doctor, and the doctor does the physical and then fills it out. And then I send it on to the people in the office in New York, and they work on this visa. So, you know, I won't know what the deal is until I see that paperwork. I would say that right now, that detail is the only thing standing between or standing in the way of my making this jump. I find I'm not nervous. I'm not anxious about it, which kind of scares me a little bit, because I'm usually anxious about anything big or small that indicates a change. But, you know, a change is necessary. And the idea that going to a place, first of all, you're going to a place where, you know, my history doesn't follow me, and, you know, nobody knows me, and I can start again. That's just part of it. If I go to that place and I sit and I'm alone, then that's one of my big bugaboos, you know, being alone and fearing that I'm going to be alone. If I do this, but I'm going to a completely different, you know, country where I'm going to be immersed in a new culture and in a new language and, you know, occupied with work, I think that becomes something, I think that becomes therapeutic to me. And, you know, it's not a lifetime commitment. You get like, it's a 10-month contract, a 10-month academic year. So what do I do? I feel the door has been thrown wide open for me. So this is what you asked for. I feel if I don't take it, I would never. You know, I'm getting older, and my ability to enter into experiences such like this is going to continue to decline the older I get. If I don't take the chance now, I'm not even taking the chance. I just make the leap. It's all there for me. I don't really have to do anything but go over there, and they have a curriculum that my ability to follow the curriculum and my ability to communicate with the students and help them to reach whatever goals it is that are set for them, or the goals, hopefully goals that are set by themselves. That's all I have to do, and stay out of trouble, which I'm mostly able to do. I mean, you try and be smart. I mean, you just realize, you know, I'm not in Kansas anymore. Never been in Kansas, actually. That's just an expression. Have I moved? I do not think I have ever been in Kansas. I think I was going to go one day, but you get this idea when you live in what is geographically a smaller state. My state's pretty well populated, but it's maybe 300 miles from corner to corner. It's not, Then you go, I remember I was in Tennessee, and I looked at the map, and, you know, Kansas didn't seem that far away. So I tried to drive there one night, and, like, I got into the fifth hour, and, you know, not even close. I said, well, I think I'll turn around and go back. So 10 hours in the car for nothing, but, you know, no need to drive. I would not want to even attempt to drive in China. They said that the living quarters, and it's not dormitory style living. I wouldn't be cloistered with a bunch of other Americans, although there would be, I would have access to other Americans. And that there are enough sort of English speaking institutions that, you know, I'm not isolated. You know, if I needed a doctor, or if I needed, you know, to talk. So Beijing is the capital. So if you wanted to talk, if I needed, you know, sort of, you know, if I'd start, caused a diplomatic incident, and I needed to be pulled out of there, I could get to the embassy and pound on the door, say, I'm an American citizen. Get me out of here. But anyway, I'm saying I digress. Now, see, I did go over my 30 minutes. I'm into that extra slice of pie that I allowed myself. I have not told my parents anything about China yet. My Facebook friends know something about it, which means my brother would at least have an opportunity to know about it. He has not chimed in on it. My daughter has noticed it. I have seen some other people that I know, you know, might speak to my mother. I've noticed it. So I'm half expecting the phone to ring and say, what's this about China? Don't know how they would take it. I was very pleasantly surprised how they took it, my parents, when I quit my job. Don't know how this is going to go over. I have never lived more than, I'd say, 2.5 hours drive from my parents. They've always been extremely accessible to me. And now they would be, you know, accessible only by phone because they don't do internet. And maybe I can talk my brother into setting up a Skype for mom and dad. That's why I think my daughter Skypes. So I could Skype my daughter and my granddaughter. And you get a free, get a free air trip every year. So it's not like I'm going to be trapped over there. And people live, I mean, family members live long distance from each other, you know, everywhere, you know, it's sort of par for the course. You know, they live, like the kids live in, you know, you're living here in Ohio and the kids live in California and Texas and Florida and North Carolina. And, I think once you're more than an overnight, not even overnight, I don't like to drive my car overnight. Once you're more than an easy day's drive away, once you're more than 10 hours distant by car, so it works out to what, about 600 miles? You know, there's about a 500 or 600 mile accessibility radius. Outside of that, it's all pretty much the same. Outside of that, you're basically talking about air travel. And that's, I mean, that would be the, that would probably be the one thing I would really, really, really not be looking forward to, is I believe I've read that Beijing is 22 hours in the air. I don't know. Can I get a boat ride? Can I get a slow boat to China, please? Let me look it up here. I was looking at some things about China on Wikipedia. Beijing is the second largest city in China. The population is 16.5 million. And I know how, I don't even think the city I live in now is a million. Might be a little more than a million if you count the suburbs. But my brother lived in Chicago for a while. And he's always in Chicago. That's Beijing, buddy. Probably about three times the size of Chicago. I didn't look up the actual number. Beijing, 16.5 million, and it's the second largest city in the country. And I was very surprised to find that Hong Kong is not the biggest. Shanghai is the biggest, 20 million. Hong Kong is ninth, 7 million. So you know, these cities are really, there's cities in Asia and you know, it's Tokyo and Seoul and cities in Korea have just blown away the Western cities in terms of population growth. I think when I was in Haiti, I think they said you know, there's 3.5 million people in Haiti, and 3 million of them live in the capital city, Port-au-Prince, and 500,000 distributed through the rest of the country. But that's Haiti, not China. Lots of stuff in here I was going through. I mean, it's a long article. It's a big country. What was the other thing I wanted to point up? There's lots of stuff on Chinese cooking. Sports. What's sports? Summer Olympics. 2019 FIBA Basketball World Cup. You know, like if I stayed for a little while, I could see the World Cup. Oldest one of the oldest sporting cultures in the world. It's evidence that archery was practiced during the Western Zhou Dynasty. It doesn't say how long again that was. They go through the history about all the dynasties and all that, but it's one of the oldest cultures on Earth. China's big in the Olympics. Martial arts. That's kind of table tennis. We knew that. Snooker. I didn't know that. Mahjong and chess is becoming very popular there. What else? It's a different place. I feel like that is something I've thought about recently that I haven't. I had some opportunities in my sort of regular working life, and then more recently to travel a little bit, and I never did. I went on vacation to Dominican Republic once, and I went to Haiti on an academic trip once. That's it. That's really all the traveling I've done. A chance to see another place before it's too late, before my feet get stuck in the ground and my butt gets stuck in the chair. I find myself hoping that this happens. But at the same time, I hope it happens, but it can also take its time a little bit. I'm not ready to get on the plane yet. And kind of hoping that there will be a period of weeks that it takes to get this visa done. Because, again, I'm thinking if it's just, a matter of signing off on the paperwork and, everything's okay, let's go. I mean, the recruiter was kind of making it sound like I might be out of here before Christmas, which would be, I kind of like to have Christmas here before I go. Maybe that's, I don't know. It's jumping ahead. We don't even know that. As I said, there's a medical question to be settled. And I felt, I wanted to ask that question, and I felt a little bit, because obviously there are doctors in China and in Beijing. Beijing is a modern city. But I wondered about, what are the mechanics of transferring? I have these long-term prescriptions, and how do I make that happen? So I guess, the recruiter said that wouldn't be a problem. They have modern hospitals, and of course they do. It's kind of that I would probably have to see a new doctor there and bring my records with me, and that it shouldn't be a problem. So all my excuses are gone. It's just a matter of is my emotional disorder a problem? Is it a problem or is it not? I don't think it's going to be. I think it's just, play it cool, play it by ear. If I don't make a big deal out of it myself, that's something, that's a trap I've said, because I got to let go from a job because I was way too honest with the person who was doing my physical about my past alcoholism. And he refused to sign the paper. So, just sort of screwed myself out of the job that way. Also because I didn't do well on the driving test. But, so I mean, honest, yeah. One can be honest without being, you know, honest. You can answer the questions that are asked. You know, answer the questions that are asked. I find I'm looking forward to receiving this information and looking at it and seeing what's going on. I'm also noticing, you know, I've been posting updates, as I said, on Facebook. And I'm noticing a lot of people kind of, you know, chiming in as I say, I may be going to China, and it's like, you're chiming in, yeah, way to go, good for you. It's kind of like they want me to leave. haven't seen a, well, we'd be sorry to see you go, but it sounds like a great opportunity, you know, that kind of thing. No, it's all great. Get the hell out. I guess I could always tell my parents that I'm leaving because Trump won the election. Wouldn't that be fun? I'm going to China because Trump won the election. Oh, what fun. Boy, I did. I didn't think I'd be able to do it, but I've almost managed to fill up 45 minutes. I've been told, I've been encouraged. Chief Iggy has encouraged me to take the show up, to take it longer. I know I have to get something to drink. My throat's kind of sore. That's one of the things. Just you talk and you talk and you talk, and I'm not used to talking this much at a stretch. But it's good. I don't know. This is one of those mud toe centered shows. Just telling you what's happening to me. I don't think I made any great insightful. I haven't added to the database of the world's philosophy with any of this. But my goal is to speak as spirit directs. Let's say what comes to mind, and I pray that my intentions and spirit's intentions are always aligned. Do my best to quiet my mind and let the intention of spirit come to me clearly. It's going to be very important, I think, in the coming weeks and months to have that clearly in mind. That's an idea. Will I still be able to do this show from China? I would think that I could. I mean, to make it happen, I make a phone call. So, you know, international rates apply, but I can do it. I'm doing it with Skype right now. If it's, you know, it just depends on how much does it cost me to Skype out to the States, or does Blog Talk have a number in China or someplace closer? Just these are things that have to be explored. What the recruiter told me was that in China you do everything with your phone, which will be interesting because I'm about five or six smartphone generations behind. I've never used a smartphone, don't know anything about it. He says everything in China you do everything with your phone, so that'll be a new learning experience for me too. And my plan would be to just, you know, be myself, be who I am, maybe, you know, clean up the language a little bit. But to be there, share my experience, and help students meet their goals. So I will keep you guys up to date as this unfolds. Join me next week. We're going to be doing some Shaman Tarot. And once again, thanks for listening, and have a pleasant good evening.